Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Welcome to Point of View. My name is Pimelo Modine. Thank you so much for being with us. It's a Wednesday edition of Point of View. So Ntabiseng Dibazana is going to be joining us just after 9 o'clock. As you know, you are so welcome to send through your questions, anything legal. And it's absolutely free. She's very happy to give you free consultation. That's going to be happening just after 9 o'clock. But to this now, Deputy President Paul Mashatile today congratulated stakeholders for honoring their commitment last year. You may remember that he was in Yagasfontein sometime last year in May, and there was an agreement that some of the residents who lost their homes during that dam collapse will be receiving their homes. On the line with us is Keith Khoza, who's the Deputy President's spokesperson. Thank you so much, Mr. Khoza, for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, and good evening to your listeners.
Last year, when the Deputy President was in Yagasfontein, the Yagasfontein Development Project said they would hand over the homes in December. What caused the delay?
Well, in terms of construction and the weather, the weather tends to affect construction in more ways than one. But also, if you have to demolish and rebuild, it often takes time because you then have to go through the approvals again from the council, where in terms of approval of your plans, or they need to check the foundation and everything, if it's done properly and so on, registration with the relevant bodies that are concerned with construction. So these are inherent challenges when you do construction.
Apart from the issues of the collapsed dam, there were other issues that the Deputy President highlighted, you know, in the area, service delivery problems, water limitations. We were hearing of 10 years of sort of a drought because of issues of non-payment by the municipality to the Bloem water and so on. How far are we with this? I know COCTA was also involved in trying to resolve some of these issues.
Yeah, that's why when the DP went down to Yagasfontein, he brought all the relevant department, the Department of Human Settlement, COCTA, and so on, to ensure that the solution is holistic.
Yeah.
You start addressing the issue of water because the collapse of the dam created a problem in terms of supply of water. You then had to rebuild the wall for the dam, retaining wall, and purify water and start supplying water and so on. So you just needed to get all the role players in place so that they commit to what they're supposed to be doing. And this is exactly what happened, that the issue of water was going to be addressed, the issue of service delivery in general was going to be done. The private sector had owned up what they needed to do as a result of the problem that transpired.
And so, you know, issues of water issues between the municipality and Bloem water outside of the dam collapsing, those were legacy problems. How far are we with resolving those issues?
We are waiting for that report now. Okay. Now that the housing report has been submitted and we know that something has been done and they're handing out houses, we then need to focus on other areas in terms of water supply and other service delivery issues.
Were you satisfied? I know that there was going to be some sort of an assessment of the buildings themselves and the structures. Some concerns in the beginning about, you know, how solid those building structures were. And of course, you would understand these were people who lost their homes. Are you satisfied with the quality? Have you gotten quality assurance of the structures?
Well, the report we got from the province was that they're happy, and that's why they were launching the handing over these houses. Because remember, any defective structure is a threat to life. Ordinarily, if it's defective, you do not hand it out when it is defective. It has to be rectified, you know. So these things were done by the province in terms of confirming that these dwellings are safe for our location.
I'm told 160 homes today were handed over. Was that the number of homes you expected to hand over since the last time you engaged with Yagasfontein Development Project?
No, it's not going to be 160 as far as we know. It's about 100 because they're proceeding with the rest of what needs to be done. Remember, there were two types of things that needed to happen there. to rebuild this house, and the people who said they don't want the house to be rebuilt, they just need their houses to be renovated. So they then had to decide where to start. Mm. Do you start with building, which is a daunting task, or do you start with refurbishing?
Mm.
So our understanding is that with the allocation, with the handing out that happened today, there is plus minus 6 more houses that need to be completed to complete the entire project.
Mm. So we obviously have this going, this project going, homes are being built and so on, and others being renovated. What about the issues of accountability about what happened? We also know that at that point earlier on when the dam collapsed, we were told that there were earlier reports that did point to structural issues of the dam. So there were warnings, there are problems there. Is there a process? We know that there was an investigation. Who could we look to for those responses and the development of that process?
The Department of Water is the one that would give an assurance, because remember, the task of building dams and so on and water supply is their mandate. And so they do have resident expertise in terms of quality assurance, functionality assurance, and what needs to be done if there has been a situation like this in terms of emergency. So the Department of Water Affairs should be able to assist in terms of confirming the quality of work that was done around the dam itself. But when the DP was there, he was assured by all players that they would make sure that what happened then do not repeat itself.
Mm. So you say the Department of Water. One of the reasons I ask is because there was an issue at the time about who should take responsibility. The Department of Water saying, no, it's not us. Actually, they hold a mining license. The Department of Minerals and Energy saying, no, look to the Department of Water. There was a bit of that happening. Are we now clear about who is actually investigating the matter?
Yeah, well, the Department of Water has statutory responsibility to ensure that the quality of work, even if it's done by the private sector.
Mm.
Remember, even the what delayed the housing project was a similar problem of shifting responsibility.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is the council responsible to build the houses? Is government responsible to build the houses, or the private sector?
Yeah.
Because the private sector wanted to say, no, we can give land, you can build. But the issue was, no. We did not cause this as government.
Yep.
It was your project that created this, and therefore you need to do that. So there was an understanding at the time that now the private sector is to play a bigger role in terms of the actual construction, you know. And I guess a similar arrangement should apply even in terms of the dam itself.
Mm.
You know, so that they take full responsibility. You can't come into a community, make money, and when there is a mess that arises out of your project, you say government must come and do it. It doesn't work that way.
Is the Deputy President engaging the lawyers of the 50 who were trying to put together a class action?
No, that was referred back to law enforcement and the provincial government to deal with that.
Okay.
Because it's a matter that was ongoing. It required background information.
Mm.
It required legal scrutiny and so on before you could settle it.
Mm.
So the matter was then taken back to the province, because it is within the jurisdiction that they deal with that matter.
Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for giving us your time. Keith Khoza is the Deputy President's spokesperson. Listening into that conversation is Andries Nkome, who is a lawyer of the 50 families I've just referred to now, the Jagers van Rein families, who wanted to put together a class action. Thank you so much for your time, Mr. Nkome. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening and thanks for having me.
Let's just maybe pick it up from there. You know, how far are your proceedings in getting a class action going?
We are of the view that we must make all the possible interactions with the affected party, the affected mine, to try and have an amicable settlement.
Mm.
But they are not budging insofar as trying to meet up with us. And today, what is happening with government saying it's the one that's going out and handing over houses, it's telling that the mine is conniving with government against our destitute clients.
At some point, quite early on, there was a discussion about the fact that there are these plans to build homes, and in a way, quite moving quite quickly, where people had not decided for themselves whether this is going to be enough. And also some talks about the fact that if you signed and acknowledged the fact that they are going to build your home, you then can't proceed in going forward with the class action. So it's almost in a way saying it's okay, I accept and I receive the home and I will not hold anybody else responsible going forward. What happened there?
What is happening now is clearly exactly what you are saying now, to say that the mine is conniving with government to try and force people into settlements that are not going to be equal to the settlements that we would be getting if we went and litigated this matter. On clause 9 of the agreement that they provide to people, they say, if you allow us to do some repairs on your property, then you let go of any other claims. It's in full and final settlement of your claim. That's one. But the second one is that they also say that when you sign here, we sign just to say we are making you an offering, and it's without accepting liability. So if government is going to be seen to be dancing to the tune of the mine, saying that people must accept these properties, it's very, very unfortunate, and it's a pity.
So when you say government, you know, I've just spoken to the deputy president's spokesperson now, and they're saying, no, look, they've taken this back to province. And it was always the issue of province, municipality, the project leaders, the people that run this particular facility. Who are you engaging with right now?
We represent the Kopano local municipality, and we learned only yesterday that the premier of the province was going to be the one handing over properties. But we did not know the title in which the premier is handing over those properties, simply because our understanding is that the guilty party in causing the disaster is the mine. And if there's any one party that's supposed to be out there saying it's celebrating, agreeing with other people also far as rebuilding their houses, it's supposed to be the mine. So it's very, very strange. It's very, very strange. And we are saying, for that reason, we are going to have no option but to proceed and litigate on this matter and get our clients to be compensated, even for the trauma that they went through.
Okay. I'm not sure I understand. You are representing the community members, right?
We represent the local municipality as well as the individual community members that lost property.
That's interesting, because the local municipality, when I spoke to them at the very beginning, seemed to think that nobody, I'm going to call it a mine company, they then call themselves something else. But the people that were running and were responsible for the dam, the local municipality, we were under the impression, actually had agreed with the mining company stroke dam operational company that residents are okay with accepting the homes. So are you saying that the local municipality now is also part of the litigants with your residents?
We represent the local municipality for the damage to their sewer lines, water lines, power lines, and telecommunication lines.
Got you.
We also represent people that lost physical houses, yes, as well as household contents, and we represent the descendants of people that lost their lives in the process. So we are saying our claim against the mine, Jagersfontein Development, is quite huge, in the sense that, one, we are talking about trauma, but we're also assessing the viability of exposure to harmful fumes. And it's for that reason that we are saying it cannot be that government today comes in quickly and says, let's celebrate that people are being handed over homes. We are saying the very same properties where people are brought back into, our clients are saying they would not like to reside in the same properties because of possible relapse of the dam collapse, but at the same time, exposure to the harmful fumes. Now, there is no one who has been built a new home at a different site than the same place where they used to be. Mm. In actual fact, there hasn't been a newly built home from foundation to the end. Everybody's homes have just been rebuilt from the very same foundations, yes.
Mm. I find this absolutely fascinating. So are you saying, what then is the role of COCTA, which seems to be celebrating this moment as victorious, as a way forward? Are you saying that local government is not working together with the provincial government on this?
Clearly they are not. and COCTA is not supposed to be celebrating this. COCTA's role was supposed to be to bring parties to the table. So the lawyers of the affected families, as well as the lawyers of the mine, were supposed to be brought by government so that we can then have a whole list of people that are affected, a whole list of damages that they suffered. Then we can negotiate on how best we make sure that we bring people back to the conditions in which they were prior to the dam wall collapse. But government is not doing that. It seems to be, it's not talking to us also. We hear from the streets that government is going to be going to Jagersfontein. It's not supposed to have been. We were supposed to have been in discussions with government, COCTA, as well as the mines lawyer to say, let us come together and be at Jagersfontein and demonstrate what progress we're making insofar as trying to settle this matter.
I must say, you know, when you keep saying government, I get terribly confused because local government is government. So I'm not sure I understand why local government is not speaking to COCTA, which is very involved, because they are directly supposed to be engaging with COCTA in order to facilitate these kinds of things with the province and so on. So are you saying that local government is not engaging with COCTA? And when the deputy president says they met all stakeholders, are you saying that they left out the municipality?
No, I can say that. I will tell you now that we had a meeting where government departments were coming through, like, for example, your DMRE as well as your water department and COCTA, coming through to make a presentation of their findings insofar as what could have possibly caused the disaster, as well as what the possible extent of damage is. Everybody seems to be singing from a totally different hymn book, and it wasn't supposed to be. My understanding, my wish, is that our government could be a lot more unified and bring a local as well as provincial and national sphere of argument into a particular report so that that report can be presented to the affected family members. But what we have now is pieces and threads of some finding by one or other employee of government that has not spoken clearly to the next relevant department.
I'm sorry to separate families to the local government municipality, because I think these are very different. Well, I suppose they need different assessments and they want different things. What did local government brief you on? What do they want you to be doing?
We are supposed to claim for damages to the local municipality's infrastructure. The sewer infrastructure, water infrastructure, electricity, as well as the telecommunication lines.
Okay.
That's for the local municipality. But in respect of the those people that lost houses, there are those clients of ours that are saying, in as much as I wish to be put in the very same position I was prior to the dam wall collapse, I would not want to reside at the very same location. Therefore, I would like to be compensated and to be moved elsewhere. And okay, that is not being considered by government now.
Got you. That's why I was saying I just want to separate the two. So in terms of local government, why isn't local government escalating the matter to the province, to COCTA, to the deputy president, who's been brought in, assigned by the president to manage all stakeholders? Are you at all, privy to these conversations? They seem to be having conversations. Or are you saying to me that's not true?
The last time that we had a meeting was when the deputy president was down at the Jagersfontein. I think it was in the past year. And when we were there, there were separate meetings that were held. The initial meetings that were held by the deputy president as well as Mr. Tau was held first with the mine. And then thereafter, our clients got to be engaged to say we are in discussions with the mine, and this is what we are seeking. We're seemingly talking towards. Like, for example, I'll tell you now that the mine has committed to paying rentals for people that we represent in other people's homes around the very same community. Now, in the past 2 months, those rentals were not paid. They were not paid simply because the mine as well as government is trying to force our clients to sign the very same agreement that say we're going to repair your own property on the very same location. And once you sign, you might just forget about the rest of your damages. And, we just find it so pitiful and so regretful that government is participating in these discussions.
All right. Let's talk about the 50 families. Are these have they signed, some of your members? Have they signed to receive these keys, or where are they standing on this?
Look, we have been saying to people that they should not sign any agreement with the mine, especially an agreement that says that they let go of all of their other heads of damages. But some of the people that we're representing
have signed.
You'll remember that we got to Agrisfontein 2 days after the disaster happened. And at that point, we were representing everybody. So over time, over the two-year period, the mine has succeeded in coercing people to sign simply because people are residing in other people's backyards. Sometimes, like now, it's happening that the mine is not even paying for rental. Mm. So some people that have got handicapped children are being evicted from properties.
Mm.
And because the mine has not paid their rentals. Now that is being used by government as well as the mine to force these people to sign in those agreements. So we are going to have a much more difficult case to prove where we are saying people were coerced in signing agreements than if initially people would not have signed the agreements, and therefore we can then go out all out to court to say, let's prove all the heads of damages.
So in real terms now, how many of these people that you represent haven't signed these agreements?
We're sitting just now on around 20 families that we are representing, where we are saying we're going to prove all the heads of damages. First, losses of support. Second, losses of immovable property, movables that were inside the houses, injuries that people suffered, as well as exposure to harmful fumes and losses of livestock, and. So there's just so many heads of damages that we're going to be proving, and it's going to be far, far greater than the settlements that the mine is making now with the community and with the help of government.
So the 25 families that you represent right now, they are not signing, they will not be receiving those keys, even though they say 100 homes have been built. Class actions take a long time. Are they comfortable with that?
Yes, and I think, look, one should even mention here that they have been able to withhold signing for the longest of time. And they have been living with threats of being evicted from properties. And all that they say is that we don't mind signing any agreement for as long as we are supposed to be given an opportunity to take the agreement to our lawyers, who will then say, this agreement, in as much as it might be right on this first paragraph, but the preceding or the subsequent paragraphs are supposed to be amended in this fashion so that we don't let go of the rest of the people's claims. And therefore, look, we're very, very proud of our clients, and we'd like to remain with them and make sure that we litigate to finality.
So that's the families, and that's where you are right now, and they're not going to be receiving the keys. They refuse to sign, and I get it. That municipality, is in trouble, right? We know that municipality is in trouble. We know that provincial government, COCTA, were discussing the fact that the municipality needs to be brought in because it was not managing its affairs. It's in a sense collapsing. Are you confident politically that you will be able to hold on to this class action for the municipality, even as you know that politically things could change?
Look, it's not a political question insofar as our responsibility is concerned. We are lawyers. We do not care about what political climate exists in a space. All that we have got to determine is who is supposed to be held liable for the damage that took place there, and what is the extent of the damage that those people that we represent suffered. And if we are not able to find one another around a discussion table, will have no option but to take this litigation to court, where a court will make a finding insofar as, one, who's liable, but two, the extent of liability, and let people be paid.
No. It does matter, actually, politically, because you're saying to me you were briefed by the municipality, and I'm speaking directly to that. I'm talking about the people that have briefed you in relation to the municipality, because if politically things change, the brief then doesn't hold. They may say, no, we've actually had conversations with the province and national. As you can see, they've sent in the deputy president. And actually, we've decided, as you said, there were separate meetings that he had with other people, including the mine. So we are okay. We don't need you anymore. What I'm asking is that, are you aware that things can change in that way? They're looking to Section 139 to take over that municipality. So Is that something that you're considering? Are you having those conversations with the municipality? Because you are saying to me you are briefed by them for their own infrastructure damages.
The understanding that we have is that a municipality is not an individual. And political changes is political changes that could take place to individuals that are key players within a particular space. Now that we hold the instruction on behalf of the municipality against whoever caused the damage, which is Jagersfontein Development, will proceed and seek an amicable settlement for the repairs of that infrastructure. But second, if all those discussions fail, we'll then have no option but to litigate. That is one. But two, I am glad also that you made a distinction between individuals that have lost houses. Mm. And we are saying, in an instance where we don't have the support of the municipality insofar as they did previously,
sure,
we will then proceed and litigate on behalf of the individual family members and
that's
make sure
it.
That we get through the courts the damages that they suffered.
That's exactly it. Because the point I'm trying to make here is that I'm not sure that they are letting you in. This is also politics. I'm not sure that the local municipality is actually letting you in on conversations they're probably having. And actually, in politics, it's, yes, I hear you say it's about an it's not about an individual, and maybe it is about an individual according to you, but governments change. And when an entire government changes and council is completely changed, the brief may change. So you will continue with the families, and I'm just wondering whether the municipality will keep their word with you, because if there is other political intervention, maybe they won't.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. You'd understand that on the day that we took instructions, which was on the 14th of September, we represented everyone that was affected. We represented all the parties that had lost houses. But today, that number has dwindled to the number that we now hold, simply because over time people were pressured and they accepted that they should be put back into the properties. It is only a pity that none of them, even if they were injured as a result of this, or they get into these properties, they get exposure to these fumes, and they fall sick, they've got no leg to stand on simply because they've signed those agreements. So things keep on changing, but those that I say we represent now that we are remaining with are people that I'm proud of, that I'm saying they have not signed, and I wish that they remain as they are, that we can continue and litigate against the mine.
Okay. The agreements that I get that, you know, you are really processing what you need to do with the 25 families that you still have. In terms of the municipality that you say has briefed you, have they given you a clear indication to move ahead? Where are you with this? I mean, it's almost a year now.
There has not been a change from the municipality since we took instructions.
Mm.
But then you'd realize that the extent of damage that took place is quite extensive. As lawyers, all that we do is to determine liability, and then thereafter we appoint experts that are supposed to assess the value as well as the extent of damage,
mm-hmm.
whereafter all of those reports will be presented before a court for an actuarial calculation to be made, for the court to say, for us to have all of those things reversed, for people to be put back in the position they were prior to a disaster, here's how much it will cost.
Yep.
And that is the process that we're working on now.
Okay. I really appreciate you giving us your time. Andries Ngome is a lawyer representing now 25 of the Jagersfontein families who lost their properties, their homes and so on after that dam collapse that happened around May. And so a lot has happened. Deputy President today congratulating and thanking all stakeholders, saying, you know, they now have about 100 homes that are going to be handed over to families. The lawyer is saying, well, you know, we had at the time in the beginning, we thought we were representing 160 families. Now we're down to 25. And so he says they are committing not to sign any agreement. Therefore, they will not be taking those homes. I am terribly confused because the deputy president was appointed and assigned to go and look at this matter and bring in all stakeholders. All. When I say all, I mean municipality, province and so on, to try and get to some amicable agreement. What sounds like is happening, which is what this lawyer is saying, is that the municipality is now working on its own to litigate against the dam owners. What I can tell you is that we had reached out to government, local government and provincial government, to get more clarity. They are in a meeting at the moment, so we're just going to give them some time. We will get back to this matter. We'll get back to it on Monday. I promise you we can do that, because tomorrow we'll be dealing with the SOPA. Just to get a sense of what they officially are saying, the lawyer says they were briefed when this happened. That was a long time ago. And I'm saying things change, especially politically. Are they still holding that brief? That's actually my question when it comes to litigating on behalf of the municipality. But we'll hear from local government as well as the province on Monday.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.